Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Upgrade your kitchen today with Clearview Cabinetry. We offer a great selection of finishes made with the finest materials and built to withstand life's sticky messes. They provide features like soft closed doors and drawers and with cabinet accessories to match your unique style. View our selection of Clearview Cabinetry on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, my name is Elaine, and I'll be your tour guide through South Central Los Angeles.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go, our number 2 3-hour show. You know how we roll here on The Usual Suspects on a Way Back Wednesday, songs pre-2009 that have something to do with John Singleton's cameo roles in film, his films overall, his video production, and of course, movies that he directed or produced.
Or played a bouncer in.
Nice try.
Well, I already did that by saying song, movies where he had a cameo role. I didn't say extra.
Cheating ass. You know, we need to change the name of the show to The Usual Cheaters.
Now, here's the other thing I was going to do. The other thing, just to let you know, I was going to give you a heads up. I was going to do this, and I elected not to.
Okay.
One of the movies didn't have a soundtrack available for purchase per se, but used a ton of great songs in the movie itself, and I didn't know if that was a technicality, so I didn't use it. They had the Jackson 5 in there. They had Marvin Gaye. There was a bunch of them. And I was like, yeah, they're going to call me out on this and say that you couldn't buy it at Blockbuster. So I'm out. I'm not doing it. I'm just not doing it.
So somebody, Riley on Twitter, was because we were discussing the KD thing. And Riley on Twitter said, if you already know KD's going to hit, get his either way, why not just focus on stopping the other four? Because you're not going to stop the other four either. That's the problem.
And you're not going to help the situation by just avoiding the
KD, because then he
KD
will go off for 50.
Yeah.
If you just like, we'll just put whatever on him. That's the problem with the Warriors, man, is it's pick your poison. When you run out four All-Stars, that's the problem. This is the challenge they present for you.
And let me say this, too. I brought this up to you yesterday. But the thing that is the huge difference that was glaring at me last night again is the awareness of these two teams, or lack of in one case. Because you're right, because there are so many options and you're not going to stop them all and all the things we've said about the Warriors, the biggest thing is their court awareness in knowing that when you have a mouse in the house, when you have a Chris Paul trying to guard Kevin Durant, the four guys on the floor that aren't Kevin Durant go, get him the ball and get out of the way. Get him the ball and get out of the way.
Exactly.
James Harden, several times last night, had a guy with a mismatch in the favor of the Rockets and looked him off, and kept dribbling the yo-yo at the top of the key. And I was like, pass the frickin' ball.
No.
And he wouldn't do it. And that's awareness, and that's where you get to how you can decipher the championship caliber teams and the hopeful team.
I'm going to take what you just said and use it to further my point and disagree with Amos on Twitter also, because he says KD would have Capella looking like a baby deer on ice. You just said that when they would have a mouse in the house and have somebody with KD's back to the basket, whether it be Harden or Chris Paul or anybody else, so wouldn't it make sense to put Clint Capella on Kevin Durant when his back's to the basket so that they don't immediately dump it down to him and have to run a different offensive set? By the way, one more point I wanted to make on this, and then I'll leave it alone, and you guys can trash the idea all you want. But if you've watched both games, how many times have you seen Clint Capella on the switch at the top of the key trying to hold Steph Curry? I'd much rather him try to do that with Kevin Durant than on the switch with Steph Curry. I'm done. I won't make any more points about it.
I think you're totally right in terms of Capella's got to be the guy on the low block with whoever their biggest player is. And if it's Durant, damn right he better be on there or help, like you said, or coming over from the weak side or somewhere else to help. But on the perimeter, I'm not going to go deer on skates because he's definitely more athletic than Nene. And if you look at the two monster shots Curry hit in each of the first two games in the late in the fourth quarter, guess who was trying to come around that switch? Nene. Talk about a freaking bull in the china shop.
They love that matchup. They love that matchup with Curry. I mean, if Nene is going to be the guy that comes out on perimeter, why aren't you taking that matchup all day? I mean, especially if you're Steph Curry, that pick and roll just makes them vulnerable. There's nothing you can only hope for that come game three, that they get, you know, Eric Gordon starts hitting shots early, perhaps a couple alley-oops to Clint Capela if Fareed is in the game early, him as well, to really build the confidence in the, you know, Toyota Center. And then they can at least get this back to a series by tying it up, by taking advantage of home court come game three and game four.
Rockets by 15 in game three.
Straight up?
Straight up.
You giving me 15 points?
He looks a little...
Rockets win.
He sounds very facetious.
Are you giving
right
me 15 in the Warriors?
I'm just saying the Rockets are going to win by 15.
Okay, I just was asking if you wanted to make that financial bet.
I'm just saying, Rockets by 15 in the first game back. You want to take Dylan's call?
Yeah, sure. This is the biggest... This game three has the ability to get the Rockets a totally different mindset and get back in. But here's the thing. That crowd better be raucous, right? And it better be a huge momentum builder to start the game with. And they better get off to a good start and a good-sized lead that they can then kind of be in the position of Golden State in the first two games of just how close the lead's going to get away from them, but they're always going to be in control. Because if they don't and the Warriors survive that first haymaker and they build a lead, this team's fragile enough to start folding up the tents.
That's what I was talking about with J-Ro today at Current Cuts when I was getting my hair cut. We were talking about how, well, the Rockets kind of kept it within 10 the whole time. Mm-hmm. Actually, is it that the Rockets kind of stayed around within 10, or the Warriors have the ability to hold you off on a run? If you try to get it down to, they miss a shot, you go down and make a three, they get it down to 7, guess what? They're so good at getting that three back right away. It's really, really difficult. You almost have to be within 3 to 6 of them the whole game in order to have the ability to win it at the end if you're not blowing them out.
That's why I think...
Because they're so offensively adept at scoring the basketball.
For sure.
They'll go tit for tat with you the entire time.
That's why I'm of the opinion that most, if not all, these games in this particular series is going to be competitive, not a blowout. You know, I don't think you're going to see many games in this series where the Warriors win by 15 points or 10 points. I just don't think. Now, I could be wrong, but I just don't see it. And the other thing is, as much criticism we give fans for coming to games late, the arena's going to be loud enough. It's not going to be the fact that fans are not loud enough that the Rockets lose this game at home in the event that they do. It's because the Rockets lost this game. I'm just being honest.
No, and I agree with that. But I'm just saying, when you're the home team in the first game of a big series, there's a different kind of energy for you that you've got to feed off of and you've got to put to positive usage.
And fans That's are definitely going to help. Yeah, absolutely.
The bigger thing is, and to your point, Barry, I'm not giving Golden State as much credit as I am the Rockets, because on the flip side, when Golden State gets a team on the ropes, they can turn 13 to 15 into 25 to 30 in a heartbeat. And the Rockets never let that happen.
Nope.
And I really thought the Rockets put a scare into them when it got down to 3 late in the fourth quarter. And you could see some of the facial expressions where the Warriors started to rush some shots and looked like they were like, oh God, what are we going to do now? And then they got their Hampton 5 back out there.
But that's what I'm saying. That's why there's... Look, you're not supposed to win every game on the road, especially against a team like Golden State.
Right.
You're going to lose games, and if you play like the Rockets played, you're going to lose games on the road to these teams. But the fact that they got it within 3 speaks volumes about the for all the negative stuff that we've just spent an hour and a half bashing this team for. They were within 3,
yeah,
dude.
Sure were.
They were within 3. So, I mean, there's a lot of hope. And I think that, you know, this is part of why you want to play at home. Because when you squander a lead and it goes down to 3, you still end up winning the basketball game at home a lot of times. So that's why you have home court. But I think the Rockets kind of, they went out there and they said, you know what, they didn't get run off the court, which is what I think some people were really worried about, was they're going to get blown out. That hasn't happened.
Right.
They've been in the game. Right. So I think when they come home, it's a different story.
You guys want to get Dylan? Because he's been waiting patiently.
Yeah. Dylan, what's up?
What's going on, guys? Yeah, I pretty much agree with everything you've said. And Capela and Chris Paul both have underperformed up to this point. But I think one thing that gets lost in the shuffle is the fact that D'Antoni never makes decisions or changes and adjustments on the fly. He always sticks with the lineups that he's ran in the regular season, to the extent that, like you guys said, Nene is not there to the detriment of the team. I feel like just getting Fareed in there, just as a change of pace, even if it means he's just getting 2 rebounds in a couple of minutes, would do them some good. Hell, even if they put Hartenstein in instead of Nene.
All right.
Don't go that far.
Well, I mean, I understand where you're coming from because he's a rookie, but I mean, Nene is really only bringing experience in this point, and he's five steps behind everybody else. And Capella's pretty much right along there with him.
There's not that much difference between Nene's five steps behind and Mo Hartenstein's four and a half.
Yeah.
He's not exactly fleet of foot. So we appreciate the call, Dylan. I mean, here, the thing that I don't think we give enough a credit to either is Golden State's rotations. Like when they're bigs or someone slides over on either a guard penetrating or a big man making a move, they rotate quickly. They all know where they're supposed to be. The last guy on the weak side slides over to the low block on the other side. They're constantly moving both offensively and defensively, and they play team basketball on both ends.
They really do. I mean, look, and I want to give credit to the Rockets' defense as well. That third quarter where they usually lay an egg, they held Golden State to 24. That's not a stellar defensive output, but when you're talking about on the road and it's the Warriors, and it's not terrible. They usually come out and lay an egg in the third quarter. They came out. They got back into it. They played some tough defense. They won the second half. It's just that they dug themselves too big of a hole in the first half. They beat the Warriors 26-24 in the third quarter, 34-33 in the fourth quarter. They won the second half. They just lost the first half by too much, and it cost them the game. They dug themselves a hole. So for all the negatives we've talked about, I thought their defense was better in the second half. There was one point, though, the one bone of contention I had in the second half. Did you recall? Because we've seen in this series a lot of 24-second violations on this Rockets offense. There was one particular possession where there was about five passes, and your inclination is, oh, that was good ball rotation. It looked like nobody wanted to take the shot, to me. Because there was three or four open shots in that five pass possession where no one took the shot. And I was like, what's going on? Are they nutting up a little bit? I mean, what's happening?
Well, you can see there were times they got tight.
Yeah, and I think that was one of them.
But if you're going to be, to your points, if you're going to be an optimist with the Rockets, the other thing you got to look at is, because you said they won the second half, you could say, honestly, they lost the first half because Harden was out 11 minutes.
That's a good point. You know? I mean, how long was Steph out?
I don't know completely, but again, with a finger as opposed to eyes and all the things they were doing, and with the x-rays and everything so close, he was out, but then he was back.
Because they came back
and then
in at the same time,
and then,
I thought Steph went out first.
I don't know, but I know that they said Harden missed 11 minutes of time, and if you were, like you said...
Because Harden played 34 minutes, Curry played 33.
But if you look at, like you were saying, they won the second half when Harden was back.
True.
But he missed a significant amount of time when they were losing the first half.
True.
So, all right, we'll continue to roll on. We'll switch gears. We'll get some other things in here as well. We're available if you want to join us. 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter, right here on ESPN 97.5.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP Listener Line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, if y'all who are always talking about trying to catch up with us in person when we do remotes, we got one coming up. It's Friday. It's Cypress Trail Hideout. Charlie Polillo, the Suspects minus Barry, who'll be in El Paso, and the Blitz are going to be out there. Cypress Trail Hideout. ESPN 97.5 is going to be broadcasting 11 a.m., 7 p.m. Papa Charlie's Barbecue, Friday, May the 3rd. They're also having their one-year anniversary party Saturday, May the 4th, featuring a crawfish boil, live country music, and on Sunday, Cinco de Mayo, head out there to compete in a queso cook-off. And what I've heard is you don't even have to pay to get in, but just bring out your favorite cooker and your queso recipe and have at it. Margarita and Mexican beer specials all day. Head out to Cypress Trail Hideout with us Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And as part of Cypress Trail Hideout, it's Papa Charlie's Barbecue.
Sounds delicious.
Barbecue, brisket, turkey. Fits into your
all the things I can eat.
Diet yes. Deal you got going.
I'll say a little.
Whatever it's going on.
This, my wife does that. Or my mom. Like that when they talk about stuff, I'm like, how's your little skits going? Like, what does that mean? How's your little skits go? My comedy career? My little skits?
When's the next time you're doing a little one of those comedy shows in town?
Yeah. Put that in your skit. That's the worst thing you could tell a comedian. Yeah, you're going to use this in one of your skits? First of all, it's not a skit. It's a set. And no, you're dumbass. I'm not putting it in my set. It's stupid. I hate when people do that. When you're hanging out with like your buddies or your friends, and then they something funny happens, first thing they do is look at the comedian and go, this is going in your act, isn't it? No, I don't like, I'm not just waiting for you to do something funny to put you in my act. That's not how comedy works, Broseph. I got to brag for a second, which is so unlike me. Mm-hmm. It's so unlike me. But it's come to my attention that I was right about something. Rick Schroeder. Up on
Silver Spooner,
accused of domestic violence.
Dun, dun.
If you'll recall, when we were talking about this, I said like last week, I felt like the dude from Silver Spoons would be the next one rung up because he had that face.
You did say that.
He had that look. They're knocking him off one by
just
one.
Just like I said, John Singleton Films. I'm totally with you. You did say that about Rick Schroeder. I'm telling you.
Yep. Shout out. You know, Demetrius pointed it out. Thank you, Demetrius, for the one time that I was right on something for pointing it out. I appreciate that. But yeah, former child star Ricky Schroeder accused of domestic violence. Not good.
No, I'll tell you what. Looking at him now as opposed to the early days, it looks like domestic violence is only the start of what he could be accused of. He looks like a creeper, dude.
Yeah, he does. He didn't age all that well,
no.
To be honest with you. Mm-mm. He doesn't look that... He was the boyish good looks kid. Kind of like, what's his name from Saved by the Bell? Zach.
Oh, whatever yeah. That dude's name is. The blonde guy.
I always confuse the two. All
Mario
pretty,
Lopez and...
Yeah, whatever. All pretty white guys look alike to me. I know that's racist, but all pretty white boys look the same.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's not surprising. In fact, that guy might be next.
Well, what was the other one?
Mark that down.
That's true. What was the other one we had going about... people that look like Nick Nolte and all those guys.
Oh, because based on been through some stuff.
Yeah. Faces that, yeah.
Rick Schroeder right now looks like a dude that's been through some stuff. His and obviously, face, he might have that some of it been being illegal, but he yeah. looks like he's been through some stuff.
Yeah, his face does.
How
look
old
like,
is he, though? Is he like incredibly old or younger?
I got to believe.
I would imagine he's in his late 40s.
Who?
Schroeder, right?
Rick Schroeder? Let's get the Googles out.
I'm doing
Joel.
The other one. No, I'm doing the other one so that we don't get.
You're going to ask Jeeves?
No, so that you don't get so that you don't get hammered on the name from Saved by the Bell.
Oh, Rick Schroeder, 49
the
years
old. Saved by
old.
The Bell guy. His name is Zach Morris, but his real name is something Gossler or Gosler or something like that. His last name.
Oh, Rick okay. Schroeder is 49.
49. So I was right in the late 40s.
Probably. Yes.
Paul Gossler.
Yeah. Oh, look at you.
Way
up
to
on
go,
your
Nick.
I actually used to watch Saved by the Bell. The
you watched Saved by the Bell?
I did.
Yeah. What a weirdo.
He had an AC Slater tank top.
Yeah. Wore it every day.
You watched Saved by the Bell,
not
bro.
Every day.
See, here's the deal. See, Barry knows that I've watched it and he has it.
I have.
So now
watched.
He's not going to let this go.
Oh, my
no,
God.
No, it's going to be our next
But event. I've admitted this on the air so many times.
No, I don't remember that.
You never remember.
I don't remember that. I would have totally remembered you telling me that you watched a teen soap opera.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I've admitted.
Who was your favorite character?
I really didn't have. Well,
you
Kelly
to be like
was pretty hot.
Kelly Kapowski, was that her name?
Was.
How
yes,
did you know
was.
That? Because there was a t-shirt when I was
there was an episode you caught is what
no,
you, what
there
you
was
meant
a,
to say.
When I back when one I had my one. T-shirt company, there was a competing t-shirt company that had a really funny shirt. That said something about Kelly Kapowski, what they did to her. That involved, you know, maybe the hand or something like that and sexual in nature. I was like, that's a good shirt.
Didn't she marry like a hockey star? Isn't she like a
She's
puck bunny?
She's the one.
Like they call
Kelly Kapowski. Oh, is she a puck bunny?
Yeah. Which Kelly, is why. Which
a
is
lot
why,
of chicks are puck bunnies.
Oh, yeah. There's a bunch of puck bunnies, like hot ones.
Kelly Kapowski was the one that did the.
No, it's the girl from Full House that married the hockey player.
Oh, yeah, she's real religious now. It's, God, here we go again.
Hmm.
Her brother's the Kirk Cameron. Kirk Cameron's sister.
Candace Cameron.
Candace Cameron married a hockey player. So did, who's your girl that does the open for Sunday Night Football? The country singer.
Oh, don't you talk. Kelly. Oh, my God.
She married a hockey?
Oh, yeah.
She could have gotten way better than a hockey player.
Aaron Andrews, the hockey player.
There's a lot of them. Those dudes don't have any teeth. What's so attractive about a...
And
a,
have you ever been in a hockey locker room? Good stink. Lord, the stench comes out of that.
Yeah, like staph infection is on the list of like...
Who's the Sunday Night Football intro chick?
She's Carrie Underwood.
Carrie Underwood. She married a hockey player.
It wasn't Kelly Kapowski that did that sexual movie with the dance showgirls or whatever? That wasn't her, was it?
That was with Gina Gershon. That was the blonde one on Saved by the Bell. The blonde curly haired one on Saved by the Bell. Did, Gina Gershon. She was a cook.
Was it Elizabeth Berkley?
Yep.
Yes, that's who it was.
That did Showgirls?
Yep. Showgirls, yep.
So what? She wasn't Kelly Kapowski because I have no idea.
Your social media buddy married a hockey player.
Who?
Alyssa Milano.
Oh, she did?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she blew that.
She had a chance at you, are you saying? Or?
No. Oh. No way. She's too crazy.
Oh, I was going to say, you didn't give her the time of day.
She's kind
of
crazy. Did you ever see Showgirls, by the way?
I just told you. Damn right I didn't. Gina Gershon was freaking hot.
I didn't see it.
Oh, wow.
The one stripper movie that I watched was the one with Demi Moore, which was
Striptease, right?
Striptease. I was so mad that she never really got naked. I was like, come on. How are you going to make a stripper movie? And even Halle Berry showed us the goods at some point. Come on, Demi, don't be stingy. Like, especially before you get old. Just, you know, it takes 2 seconds. Whip them out on stage real quick. It's all good. Never happened. I was pretty sad about that.
Okay.
I mean, Demi's, did she get fake ones?
You know what?
She's probably 55, but if she got fake ones, those are probably 10 or 15 years old.
Jamie Lee Curtis fake ones.
So I just Googled if she ever been nude, and I don't know. Boy, don't Google that on the work phone. I feel like these are fake. Is this real?
Who?
Is that real? Did she show those? I don't know.
I don't know if I remember that.
Yeah, that is that from Striptease?
Yeah, it is. Yep.
Wow, I guess I missed that. I don't remember her showing them.
Yep.
Boy, I wasn't paying attention. That's on me, guys. That's my bad. I got to be a better pervert. That's on me. I just totally missed that. Because I just Googled Demi Moore nude, and it took me to, I won't give out the website, but it took me to a website where it has nude pictures, 65, videos, 3, leaked content, 7. And sure enough, it's got pictures of her in what looks like to be the Striptease movie. And it even shows her tuchus as well.
Oh, yes, it does.
Yeah. It's a very long, she has a long butt.
It showed her Ashton Kutcher.
Okay.
Her Boof Willis.
I'm turning my mic off.
90 in the books, 90 still to go. Second half of the show coming up next. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I need a bad bitch. Come on, if you a bad bitch.
This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. The big show's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, Joel, all in studio. Gal Media, way back Wednesday. John Singleton Films. Movies.
Oh, God.
Or films in which, motion pictures in which he had a cameo role a little bigger than an extra.
Why'd you fade that out so fast?
He ain't listening to you.
Is there somebody in the producer's room?
Yes.
Again?
I can't see who it is, but someone's talking to Nick during the show.
Oh, my God. We're trying to do a show here, people. You can't be going in the producer's room, distracting Nick in the middle of a show. Can't be having that. Who is it? Who's in there?
Aaron Rabel.
It's Aaron.
Bro. We're like on air. You can't be going in there distracting Nick while we're on air. Like, we're doing a show here. This is my AJ rant. Like, we're doing a professional major market radio show, and y'all are in there distracting Jong. I mean, Nick. Like, that's what he would do with Jong all the time. He'd get so upset. Does he do that with you when people come in there?
Wait, AJ's gotten upset on things?
Oh, never. My question to you was, why did you fade that down so fast? That's a great song.
Because you don't know how to pick clean songs.
I mean, I just pick songs. I leave it up to the producer to do the work.
Well, this, I mean,
you could have beeped it. You could have just recorded it, beeped it, did all your producer magic. You had such a great day yesterday. What happened?
I figured people
Wine
got
squirrel?
The people got the gist of the song. They know that it's called Bad Chick.
No, Bad Bitch. It's a
no,
good song.
No, but the clean version is called Bad Chick.
Is that what that was? That was the clean version?
Well, there was a portion of the explicit version, but we didn't hear the bad portion of the explicit version. Are you following?
Not a bit.
Yeah.
I feel like I should ask you who's on second after you just said
like
that.
Everything that was played on the air was clean, is what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah, because that's why you faded it down so fast.
Yeah.
Okay. And my apologies to Aaron Rabel, by the way.
For?
Because Aaron
Don't
Rabel,
apologize to him.
He brings in these, you know, stacks of paper for AJ and Fred for their reads and everything that's on their rundowns and everything every day.
Yeah.
And when I was cleaning up everything on the desk, because Fred's anal about it being clean in here, evidently he had put that on top of my laptop, and I just grabbed it with my laptop, and I'm driving home, and Aaron's like, hey, did you take Fred's rundowns and his drop-ins? And I'm like, I don't think so, dude, but I'm in the middle of 59. I mean, I can pull over. He goes like, no, don't worry about it. I go, no, wait, because I don't think I did. And I looked and I went, yeah, man, my bad.
Oh.
So I apologized at the time, right off the top.
How much screaming took place from between Fred and you, Aaron? I imagine there was a ton of screaming.
No, I let him know early enough that he went and printed out another copy.
Okay. Yeah. Somebody takes the show and say, congratulations, Joel. You're going to have one or two wine coolers to celebrate. Don't know how hard
depends
you're
on how hot
wanting
it is.
To party.
Just depends on how hot it is and how much hoops I've been playing.
That was your friendly neighborhood beer salesman checking in.
Yeah.
I'm with Barry. I thought the Way Back Wednesday music topic was clear.
Delete that.
Steelers fan Juan.
You're out.
I disagree.
The only intelligent one here.
Juan, you're banned.
Dumbasses twisting the rules. Hey, Barry, are you and OU Mike going to fight at the AJ versus Kev That Dude charity fight?
Dude, that escalated quickly.
That happened
and then
on
stayed
Twitter.
Around for a long time.
That happened on Twitter and made official on the bench this morning. I was listening to the interview. Raheel, if you're not following Raheel, what is his Twitter nowadays?
He has a new Twitter?
I don't know. It's always something.
One is Raheel out there doing things.
The Bagwan, and I don't know all this. The
well,
sports
he changes
bag
the
one.
Tag, but he never changes the Twitter
underscore
handle. The underscore Raheel.
The underscore Raheel.
So he tweeted out. Find Raheel on Twitter. He tweeted it out. A link to the 10-minute back and forth between Kev That Dude and AJ. And if you're not keeping up with it, they went after it last night on Twitter and they threatened to fight each other. And then now it's escalated to there was a call. Kev That Dude called the bench. And then AJ came on the bench and confronted him and they argued. And there's this big dust up and everyone measured their penises and they all proved how manly they were. And now there's just going to be this fight that's never going to happen.
Well, at least I didn't pick this fight.
I will point you to AJ versus White Magic on how these things usually happen. They don't. But, yeah, I mean, if OU Mike wanted that smoke, he could get it at the charity event.
Wait, I'm still perplexed by the fact AJ would never get into it with anybody.
He's never like that. I mean, he's not confrontational with people at all.
It's puzzling. And then I literally...
You know why? Because he's so humble. He's a humble guy, and he never gets into it.
Well, you've known him
people.
Longer than me, so you've seen a side that I obviously have not. but I saw The ironic thing was I saw the interaction on Twitter, and I was like, why is Barry and I being tagged on all this back-and-forth nonsense between this guy, Kev, and AJ?
Best part of the whole thread.
Yeah. Then I click on the thread, and I go down about six comments, and Kev says he's banging on the blitz and on AJ for being terrible. And he goes, I mean, let's face the facts. You guys aren't the best. Barry and Joel are the best, and I listen to them every day. And I was like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about, Kev. Tell them.
Oh, that's so good.
And now that AJ's the programmer, he goes, you keep listening to those guys
every
day.
Yeah, he goes, good. I hope you listen every day. Yeah. Which he died inside when he had to say that.
Yes.
You know he hated because he's got to be rah-rah guy because he's the PD, but you know he didn't want to say that. He's probably like, man, those guys suck. But he can't. He can't say that. So somebody want to know, are we going to get the Bread 4s that are coming out May 4th?
I like them. I like the way they look. But based on the news we started with today, I'll be reallocating funds to other things than Jordan's. I'm probably tapped out for a while.
You can give me the money.
Nah, I'm good.
Let's just lobby for a listener to buy it for us. I'm a size 10 and a half. What? Barry, what's your size?
You're begging. Yeah. Why are you begging?
Because there's always these lists. I can get these shoes for you. And then it never comes through.
No, we just got a text.
See, look what you did.
We just got a text the other day that said they still want to get us the Concorde.
Bro, why are you interrupting us? We're in the middle of a good flow right now.
713-780-377. AJ, you're right
in the middle of a good flow. AJ, thanks for calling The Usual Suspects. Big fan.
You're welcome. When you say I have to be the rah-rah guy, I have to pretend to be the rah-rah guy.
Yes.
You realize my bonus structure is based on your success.
I'm so surprised that you would come on here and talk about money.
I need you to do well to get money.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's so unlike you to come here and talk about money. I've never heard this out of you before.
I mean, I'd like to make more money.
Good. I'm good. Me too.
Me too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, hey, be better.
Oh,
in the words of your boy Kev.
Yeah.
Be better.
Second and third in the city is not good enough, I guess. Not in drive time. You're right.
Not today.
We'll work on being better.
Not today,
all
Junior.
Right. Thanks for calling. Boy, it's good to have the support.
If you want to be like AJ, enjoy the show.
It's funny how Barry thinks he's in charge of the show, doesn't it?
It's good to have support. It's so good.
If you want to reach the show like AJ, 713-780-3776, HRP listener line wide open right now.
Yeah. So somebody, the Red Force, I'm trying to get Nora to start buying sneakers, because she was asking me. She was like, what Air Max do you have? What are those
for
Air
Max? For her to wear?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So I was like, oh, now that gives me carte blanche. If she's into buying sneakers, then I can totally.
Lisa's into the nerdy running shoe. She goes to the Brooks, and she goes. She's like,
what?
Yeah, for just kicking around or going to the gym, she'll get one pair of Nikes or two. But like, because she's been the marathon runner.
She's the runner,
she's
yeah.
She's got to get the Brooks and the New Balance.
Well,
N is so attractive.
Those are good running shoes. But yeah, you wouldn't
no. care.
Now, I bought some Ultra Boosts to run in, and oh, man. Has she tried that?
No.
She probably has certain support needs and all that, because that's what the Brooks and the New Balance and some of those Saucony or whatever it's called.
Hoka 1-1s are the ones that I run in, and you made fun of them because of the fact that the bottoms
stupid.
But I'll tell you what, to run in them, it is like, it is a dream.
Yeah.
It's like running on two pillows.
I don't know about these Breds, though. I like the fours. I'm just not that much into them. Somebody asked me about that when I did the On Mute podcast. They were like, are you a sneakerhead? Do you buy everything? I'm like, nah, I'm not a hype beast. I don't buy what everybody else says to buy or that they think is. I buy what I think would look good.
Like, how much are they going for again?
Probably at least
they're
220.
Probably, yeah. Either they're going to be 180 to 220, somewhere in there.
Okay. And StockX is something we've mentioned before on the show,
Barry
right?
Barry gets a lot of his kicks from there.
Okay. StockX, GOAT, and Stadium Goods. All three places that listeners have turned me on to, whether it's El Jefe or others. So, yeah, those are all three places where you can go and get them aftermarket if you don't get into.
Someone did, by the way, text recently and said that they wanted to still get us our Concords.
I met a guy that said he
hooked you up. Yeah, but that means sell.
Yeah, they don't mean give. Like Nick's begging ass.
Okay. Well, I don't know. We'll see.
They just meant hook us up with a
way
to
purchase
them.
Gave Joel shoes is the guy you were begging at the Rockets game.
He didn't
Barry.
Give them to me. I bought them.
I didn't beg. I just said, why would you hook Joel up and not me?
That's
I'm the good one on the show.
Begging. That's basically the same thing.
No, that's not begging.
It's the same thing. It's like the exact same thing.
No, I didn't. No, all I wanted was the connect.
You
to
were
pay
jealous
for
and mad that Andrew gave Joel a
and
pair
I
of shoes.
I was the one that said if
no,
it
and
comes
didn't give
through,
you a pair.
I was going to get you in on it.
No, I wasn't jealous.
That's how I remember the conversation. Yeah,
yeah, that's how you remember the conversation.
Yeah, and I remember
of
everything.
Course. All right, I hate you. I hate you so much. That wasn't even how it went down at all. It was basically, I was like, yo, you got Joel Concords and you didn't hook me up?
He's like,
Joel
you never
didn't even like you. I mean, like,
none of this surprises me, but I was like, on the flip side, I was the one saying to Andrew, hey, bro, Barry's big into Jordans too, so if the hookup stays.
So did you buy him or was it a hookup?
I bought him.
He bought
him. I bought him.
See, that's what I'm saying. Nobody was begging. I knew he paid for him.
I didn't know. I thought he gave
now,
it.
Now you know that the whole story was a sham. That's not how it went down. It was me when I basically said,
do I?
He goes, yeah, I hooked Joel up with some Jordans. I was like, oh, you got to hook me up. He was like, oh, look, I'm busy. Look at the
people
time.
People need to stop using the word hook or hook up as an interchangeable
Why?
Word. Because when I think
saying,
hook up,
basically Andrew's
free.
The plug.
You're
Andrew's
saying hook up's free as opposed to hook up means they connect you with where you can have access to them when no one else can.
I think it just depends.
Okay.
If you say I got the hook up, that means I got somebody that can get what you need. I got the plug. It's the same thing.
Okay.
Right?
Because it sounded like you were begging for some free shoes.
If I say I got a Jordan hookup for you, that doesn't mean I got a guy that's going to give you Jordans. It means I have a guy that can get you Jordans. Right, Joel?
It also depends on when I worked in the NBA. If someone depends said on I got who a hookup you're talking for to, you,
see?
You ain't paying for them.
See?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't like that when I was coming up. We would just say, "Oh yeah, I got a hookup. I'll put you in touch with him, and then you would go buy your Jordans through him."
Andrew wanted to come to the studio.
Yeah.
I confused the word hookup or phrase hookup for free shoes. Now he can't come to the studio.
Oh, he does want to come in?
Oh, yeah. Now he can't. No, he can't.
Oh, you told him he could because
he didn't give us no shoes.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. High five through the glass.
I was begging from the beginning.
Nick was the one that said before I even...
No, he ain't coming on the show because he hooked you up and that
I didn't
up.
Say he's coming on the show. He said he wanted a tour and see the studio.
Yeah, he just wanted to see the studio. Oh, he definitely ain't coming on the show.
Nah, okay.
But if he wants to tour the studio.
Now it's fine. Dad says it's okay. All right. Jeez. All right. Need even hour number two. We roll through all the way till 4 o'clock. Then we'll hand off to our last caller, AJ, Hoffman, Fred, the Blitz. They'll be coming up after us. They'll take you home till 7 o'clock. It's all right here. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN. 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go! Finishing up hour number two of the big show. Still got a third hour on the schedule. Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Wednesday, and then Barry goes on the marathon drive to El Paso.
I thought we were leaving right at 4 o'clock.
No?
No, we're going to leave like at 8 or 9 o'clock tonight now.
Why?
Well, see, I was like, John, you're killing me, bro. We should leave right at 4 o'clock. Why are we going to hang around? And he said, it's a 12-hour drive, right? And I was like, yeah. So if we leave at 4, we can get there at 5 in the morning and get some sleep. And he goes, Barry, they're not going to let us in the hotel at 5 a.m. They would charge us an extra day. I was like,
that's true.
That's a good point. That's a damn. So he's like, if we leave at 8:30, 9 o'clock, we get there maybe at 10 o'clock. If we stop and eat or whatever, like on the way and then eat again when we get there, that kills some time. They might let us in a little early after 10, 11, something like that. We have a better chance of getting in than we do at 5. I was like, okay, that's a good point. You win this round, John Wesley.
Very smart.
Yeah.
An experienced traveler.
I was going to say, you know that's a guy that's worked the road a lot more than I have. So
indeed.
So, planned ahead.
There you go. We have that.
Oh, we have one addition to the fight card.
All right.
So El Jefe said, along with AJ fighting Kev, that dude, mm-hmm. and Barry fighting OU Mike, mm-hmm. maybe the producer Nick could fight LU Dillon.
And why would I want to fight LU Dillon?
I know. I already know who I'm fighting.
Yeah, you saw the...
No.
Clutch the Bear?
Yeah, that's what I would get.
No, they said Joel versus the text line.
Okay, one at a time? Bring it. I'd be fine.
Just Royal Rumble
one
style.
One at a time. Just coming out of the back. My way, bitch.
Coming out of the back, running down the ramp. Here comes another texter. Joel just throws
here
him out of the ring.
Here comes another forearm. Boom! Get out of here.
That's funny. Clutch the Bear. Yeah, that would be a good... I think everybody has somebody that they would... get into it with, right? Like, yours would not
physically.
Be, yours is not LU Dillon. You've had callers or listeners.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I could name some, but I don't know that I want to stir that
name
pot right
I don't
now.
Care.
No, I'm not going to stir that pot.
Well, they're
right
out
now.
There for all of us.
That's true. We just, there's, it's, what happened with AJ and Kev is really not that different than, you know, what happens normally when you have passionate fans and passionate radio guys, so. That will talk. That's the thing is, you know, these things really, I don't know that this happens a whole lot on other stations, but I don't know that the other stations are as interactive with their listeners. Now, I could be wrong in that regard. Maybe outside of Clanton and Josh Ennis, there's not a lot of guys that are going to partake in that conversation.
Oh.
Am I wrong?
Well, recently there was one.
Who?
Oh, I saw the same thing happen on another station. Clanton got into it with a guy.
I just said outside of Josh Ennis and Adam Clanton, there's no one else that I can think of that would engage and entertain the idea of that kind of engagement.
I can think of another one.
Who?
Sean's been salty enough in the past to be basically
Pendergast?
Like, no.
Oh, Salisbury.
Sean would be like,
Sean Pendergast is Mr. High Road.
Sean would confront somebody and say,
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Sean would drive and meet them and fight them and beat their ass. Sean scares me. I wouldn't want to fight Salisbury.
Other than that,
he scares me.
I can see Matt Thomas dropping the hammer on somebody.
No, get out of here. He's way too nice.
I can see Adam Wexler beating someone's ass.
No, I'm just saying.
Really?
Not really.
And it's not a shot at them, but I think that's the kind of engagement that like the interaction that we try to have here at ESPN. Where look, a lot of these guys just ignore text and tweets.
Well,
that,
they want
that take
to.
A
like,
shot
I'm not even
it.
Trying. I'm not even. I've had literally 10 to 12 requests from listeners that wanted to catch up with me at the game. Like literally 10 or 12
to fight you.
Well, hopefully not to fight
just
me.
Just to meet you, right?
Oh.
See,
okay.
I learned that from
No, I'm just talking about the interacting part, not the, you know what I mean? Like, they wanted to interact with us.
What I'm saying is like, it's. I think it's funny and it's entertaining when you have a listener and a radio guy go at it like Kevin and AJ did, or AJ and White Magic, or, you know, just any of us that have done that.
You know you, Mike.
Yeah, well, we didn't really go at it. I just cut him off.
See, and the other thing, on the matchups, you get the easy thing. You're like beating my boy Blue up and...
Beat up OU Mike's old redneck.
My boy Blue running around in the mud wrestling pile where we've got challenges.
He's probably got like a wooden hip and all this stuff. But I what I'm saying is, and I'm not trying to toot our own horn, but I feel like at ESPN, we're a lot more engaging. Like, we'll entertain that kind of dialogue with the listener where a lot of other people are like, just ignore it. Don't say anything.
We connect and appease the listeners more on a personal level than most stations.
Talk that mess.
Because I'll tell you this.
There ain't nothing wrong with talking that mess.
But you guys taught me a lot of that I wasn't aware of. Like, my whole thing, I was always taught doing what I was doing before this, was you don't ever mention the competition. You don't take any shots. You don't do that. And then between the announcer on announcer hate and back and forth within your own station, and then, you know, busting chops on the other stations and the other hosts, and I'm like, oh wow, this is like a different world.
Yeah, it's, you know what, it's because I think there's this taboo. I learned it from AJ. Like, AJ was kind of the guy that I would see that was like, he didn't care. He would talk about the competition in a good way. He would talk about him in a bad way. I think it was realistic to think that these people exist, and to pretend like they don't is asinine. So when I first got into radio, I was like, well, AJ talks about them, so it must be okay. Because it does seem stupid to to pretend like there's no 790 that exists or no 610. That's asinine. Everyone knows they exist. Everyone makes the choice of what they want to listen to. And to pretend like there's not guys that hate us individually and our takes or our thoughts or whatever is also asinine. So why not have that discussion with them? Why not go back and forth with them? I mean, sometimes it becomes too much, and sometimes you don't want to give off the perception that, oh, all he does is bitch and argue with listeners and this, that, and the other. But at the same time, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with that kind of...
That's another thing you had to learn, too, is that you're not going to ever be liked and accepted by everyone.
No.
You just have to understand that it's a ratio, and for every one or two that's going to take shots at you, you got a lot of people, like Nick said, when you go to a game that want to meet you and say...
Absolutely.
Or show up at a remote and say, got to listen to you guys every day. I want to just come in and say hi.
Yeah, just in that one thread between Kevin and AJ, there was, you know, I mean, Kevin obviously attacked AJ's and whatnot. There was 6, 7, 8 people that came to AJ's defense and saying, so you're always going to have guys that don't like you. And
Kevin came to our defense.
Plenty of, well, he was smart. He knew. He knows good radio when he hears it.
No doubt. With that said, 2 hours of good radio already in the books. We're going to keep rolling forward. We've basically covered a lot of ground, but of course we spent a lot of time on the Rockets because that's what's on top of mind of everybody this morning and this afternoon as we look at the Rockets in an 0-2 hole coming home for a Saturday night tilt where you hopefully James Harden gets some Visine and some sunglasses and he's ready to see clearly come Saturday night. But get to a lot of stuff. If you want to join us, what's up?
I think the consensus is whoever had hour two is the winner of Way Back Wednesday. I've seen tweets and texts.
Congratulations.
So, thanks, guys. What does the poll say? Who cares? I'm losing.
You're winning.
Oh, am I?
It was like 49% to 37% to Joel had like 14%. I don't know. We got to check it again, though.
I just love that he had 14%.
It's shocking to me that you would love that.
Now the poll matters if I'm winning. If I'm not winning, poll doesn't matter.
Who threw up the poll? Because it wasn't me this time.
I didn't.
You're a liar.
I did not throw up the poll.
Who else would do it?
Oh, yeah. I threw up the poll and I'm losing.
Well, you got an hour and you got bots.
No, 27 minutes left.
Don't call it a comeback. You'll be back.
Vote for Nick.
Oh, my God.
There you go.
There you go.
Final hour of the show coming up next. It's Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.